Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, I hope that you are ready for this exciting show today. I have an awesome guest, an exclusive interview with none other than one of the three doctors. Now, I know regardless of where you live in the U.S. and around the world, you have no doubtedly heard of the three doctors. No, I'm not talking about the five doctors or the seven doctors, but maybe, who knows? Maybe that's what we'll end up at the end of the show. But we're looking to change some lives today. We are looking to motivate some people today. So I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to run and get everyone that you know who needs to be empowered and motivated and who needs a life transformation to get them on the call. They can dial 347-945-7991, or they can go online and join us actually in the chat room, and they would simply go to blogtalkradio.com/AAE show. That stands for All About Entrepreneurs, AAE. Well, this is Coach Lilisa, and I am excited about our guest today. So I want to tell you a little bit about, well, I could tell you a little bit, but I'm going to tell you a lot about this individual that I've been impressed with down through the years since I initially heard the story. I think I initially heard the story about 10 to 12 years ago. And so he's going to come, one of the doctors, of the three doctors, and this is Dr. Samson Davis. I like that name, Samson. This is that strong name. Well, powerful, powerful young man is going to come on, and he's going to answer some questions, and we're going to be able to talk live, and you'll be able to hear, and if we have time for questions toward the end, you'll be able to ask questions. But we also have some exciting news and information for you as well as it relates to Dr. Samson Davis, and the reason why we wanted to get him on the show. He is here in New Jersey, and he has an event coming up. But what I thought is so amazing about Dr. Samson Davis and why I was so excited and posting everywhere on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, letting people know that he's coming to the show today, is that, number one, this is a down-to-earth person. I've never met Dr. Samson Davis personally, but, I mean, I just a week, less than a week ago, I asked them to come on the show, and now he's here. So that right there says a lot about, you know, a person. I don't have a big name and all that, but see, this is the kind of people that we're dealing with. So Dr. Davis was raised as the fifth of six children in Newark, one of New Jersey's poorest cities. And I like that he's keeping it real, poor city. You know, some people use the term to kind of soften it, you know, low income. Well, that can mean a lot of things, but poor, it has another definition. As a child, Dr. Davis grew up in a cramped living quarters surrounded by fragmented families crimes and drugs. Still, he was a good student and able to strike the fragile balance between being smart yet socially acceptable on the streets. That right there takes a lot. We know that. It was this combination of skills that Dr. Davis says that's where most critical to his survival. While attending University High School in Newark, woo-hoo, shout out to University High School in Newark, Dr. Davis met Dr. Ramick Hunt and Dr. George Jenkins. These are two fellow students who together made a promise to become doctors. So Dr. Davis and his two childhood friends each successfully fulfilled their path. And today, not only is Dr. Davis being a board-certified emergency medicine physician, he's also the guest on this show today. And in February of 2013, he released his newest book, which he's going to talk to us about, entitled Living and Dying in Brick City, An ER Doctor Returns Home. Well, we are excited. Oh, my God. In addition to discussing Dr. Davis's riveting experiences as an ER physician, the book also offers preventative guidance as a means of supporting healthier communities. And who would not agree that in this day and age, we need some health, not just for our bodies, but also for our communities. So he is a doctor in more than one way. And I could go on about his bio, but you can go on and read it in its entirety for yourself. He's done many things, and we'd be here the whole half hour if I was to continue reading, because you know how I do. I got to, you know, emphasize all the pieces because these are powerful things. But you can go to the website, Dr. Dr. Sampson Davis.com. That's Dr. Sampson Davis.com. And that's S-A-M-P-S-O-N. Sam P. Son. Go to the website and read all about it. There are other things you can do on the website. You can find out about his upcoming events, press release, video clips, just wonderful things. He has some great things coming out, but I don't want to wait any longer. I don't want you waiting any longer. Thank you for tuning in this morning and joining us. I know it's not our regularly scheduled time, but we are still here at 9 a.m. And I want to know if Dr. Sampson is on the line, and if he is, you would just need to hit your number one key, and so I'll know it's you and not a caller listening in. So if Dr. Sampson is on the line, and I see there is a hand raised, and so I will open up that phone line, area code 973. Dr. Sampson, is that you?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, and thank you so much for coming on to the All About Entrepreneurs show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to stop by our virtual studio to do this exclusive interview. I am so honored to have an opportunity to speak with you live and have our listeners also listen to your powerful preventative steps for healthier communities. This book, when I saw the flyer at the college, Essex County College, where I work, I saw the flyer and I thought, you know, I'm listening to the title of the book, Living and Dying in Brick City. I said, you know, that's awesome. I work on those on the day that you're there at another college. But I said, if I could find a way to get myself and or my students from the other college down to Essex, that would be so nice to do that. But thank you so much, and just, you know, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I want to know about, I read a little bit about your bio and how you got started in Newark. If you'd like to add anything to that story and tell us how you got from Newark in a cramped living with, surrounded by drugs and gangs and, you know, students dropping out of school, failing, and how did you get from there to an ER doctor, and then to be this author traveling all over the world, and you're inspiring some students that will never ever meet you personally, probably, but I've already told a group of kids about you. So how did you get there?
I mean, it's a blessing. I feel that it starts off with a few things that are in your control and a few things that's not in your control. I had this desire at an early age just to really become something. I mean, I think we all have it, but mine was very clear to me at an early age that I wanted to make something of my life, that I wanted to become something. And I can't say it was a doctor at first. It just was something professional and something that I can be proud of. I think that was something that existed in a very early age innately within me, and I feel that it often exists in every one of us. But if we grow up in challenging communities and communities that's dysfunctional, that sort of urge and desire to succeed sometimes gets stamped out by what your reality is and what you face every day, and the struggles and the drugs and the crime, whatever the backdrop of your community may be. So that was first and foremost. And then I had a mother who was just really relentless in me doing well in school. She always felt that education was the only way to better my life. I was a confused kid growing up. I wanted to sort of dive into every little thing that seemed to be exciting and engaging at that given moment. Anything from sports to music, that was all about. Even found myself hanging out on the streets in the corner and trying that lifestyle out for a while. And I think when I realized that being on the corner and in the streets and how that could end my life suddenly and how real that was and how unpredictable that was, it became obvious to me that I had to find another way. Now, meanwhile, I'm still going to school and pursuing education, but I'm not sure how I'm going to get there because I never have the opportunity. I didn't have that sort of bone that was thrown my way. And in high school, at University High School, which you mentioned, I met Ramik and I met George, and we were three guys cut from the same cloth, the same struggles, similar backdrop, and we all wanted better. So we just sort of came together and became a support system for one another. But the beauty about that, it wasn't something that was planned or rehearsed or contractual. It was just more or less this force of us just saying, hey, if we stick together, we may be able to find a way. And we may be able to find a way out of our immediate circumstances. So, at the time, I was still in the streets, still doing well in school, but hanging out late, getting into trouble, and, found myself in juvenile detention facility a few times. And the second time around, when I was 17 and a half, and I say 17 and a half because if I had been 18, the story obviously would have been different, but I was arrested at 17 and a half robbery. And I just remember sitting there in a juvenile facility for the summer between my junior and senior year of high school, saying to myself, if I don't take a stance, if I don't step up, take a position about my life and where I want my life to go, this is going to be my reality. And that was a stark moment for me when I realized that, I was going to die on these streets if I didn't change and really focus on what I wanted to do in life. So when I was given that second opportunity, I came back to high school my senior year at university, and it was just all focused on academics. And then a recruiter from Seton Hall University here in New Jersey came and did this presentation about careers in health and science, and the three of us happened to be in that seminar. Unpredictably, we were cutting class and got caught, and we were redirected to the seminar. And so during that seminar, one of us was like, let's become doctors and dentists. And so we made this pact that day to become doctors and dentists. And as uncanny and as we didn't realize the gravity of what we were doing. We were just like, this is an opportunity for us to do something better. So we made that pact. We applied to Seton Hall. We took the test and got in, and then we started down the road. But, we didn't know what we got ourselves into, but the fact that we had each other, and it was a positive peer pressure sort of bond that we had with one another, the fact that we had each other, it was what helped us to get from one year to the next. And once I got to college and I realized all the fun and the excitement that college had to offer, it dispelled everything that I heard in my old neighborhood growing up in Newark about how tough college was going to be and how corny it was going to be and how difficult it was going to be and how I wasn't going to be able to do it type of comment that I heard. But once I got there and I realized all that it had to offer, I was like, man, there's no going back. This is it. But meanwhile, while I'm going through the process, it was always in the front of my mind that whatever I achieve and however I achieve it, that I had to come back and show the community, because I think there's a lot of rumors and a lot of myths that exist in our communities about education and how tough and impossible it may be, where it's really, you know, it's the one thing that can save your life and get you to that next level of doing well the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. Dr. Sampson, wow. When I said fill in the gaps for us, boy, you've done that. And I definitely want to, oh, my God, thank God for you, and thank God that he has empowered you to come back, you know, to give back to various communities, and including the one that you grew up in. And I want to thank those who are listening in, who have tuned in. I tried to commute, as you well know, we only nailed down the date yesterday that you would be able to come on. I was absolutely excited when I was contacted by your publicist, who had told me about the event happening at Essex County College, a school where I started going back to school as an adult, and just the things I've got. But so many things that you said that are probably, just want to welcome people that have joined in. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Sampson Davis. He is an ER doctor. He is an author. He's a speaker. He's a community leader. He's a person who not only helps people physically in a hospital, but he also helps people in their everyday lives, helps our students with making the right choices. I love how you said that, you know, you're not just a person who had this flowery bed of ease growing up, that you did grow up on the rough side, that you had some challenges. You said you spent a summer in like some type of detention center in your, I think you said junior year of school?
Yes, between my junior year and senior year during the summer.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Then you go back to school, you finish strong, you get yourself into college, Seton Hall, one of, you know, the state, one of the country's best colleges. You get yourself in there, you perform well, you make a pact with your friends from the same community to all do something great. And just some points that I got out of it, you know, you talked about you wanted to become something or something in you. Then you said that you had a great mother who was also there encouraging you. You also said that there are times that a lot of students have some of the things that you had, great parents, you were already doing well in school, you were a smart kid, but then something kind of stamps that out of you in the community or lures you away from the goal that you yourself have set for yourself. So when you go around, so just so I'm getting so much out of this. And then you said you got to college and things were different than what you had sort of maybe heard about college. Like college would be a little boring, maybe not so exciting, but you went there and you said it was like, wow, this is great. I'm going to do this. And then you end up, and so you graduate college. And what field of medicine, and how did you end up with being an ER doctor? Tell us a little bit about that. And then talk about this book. I can't wait to hear about this book, Living and Dying, or you can just start talking about that, Living and Dying in Brick City. I believe you're doing a book signing. You can tell us the exact date. I've posted the date on Facebook. I'll continue to post it. But you're going to be doing a book signing at Essex County College. Give us that day, and we want to definitely get there and some other places that you might be. But, yeah, so what is it like being an ER doctor? What was it like getting your medical degree and all of that?
So meanwhile, you know, through the process of pursuing this path of becoming a doctor, you know, you're sort of waiting for when the rug is going to be pulled underneath your feet. I mean, you feel like it's going to happen, but you just don't know. I mean, you're talking about a commitment of some time, and just because you do well academically or okay or however you do academically doesn't guarantee you an entry into med school. And so fortunately, you know, I just plowed through the years, and you have to have faith. You know, you have to have faith that things are going to work out. And so the years of college went by, and then I applied to med school, and it was a program being offered through Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, and I applied to that. And it was only the program is ironically was a BA bachelor's MD program, and they started it the first year that they started it from Seton Hall University. They only accepted two people, and it was myself and Ramik, my partner, and with two of us were the first two to be in that program. And so we were in med school and started medical school, and, you know, med school was tough. It was 4 years of just academic rigor, and we stayed focused and managed through it. And through the process, you have to decide what you want to specialize in. For me, emergency medicine became very clear, because it mirrored my life growing up. It was this organized chaos, you know, in such a way. It reminds me of just being able to multitask on the street, multitask at home. And so I was drawn naturally towards emergency medicine, and it felt like it was the area that I could make an immediate impact in. And so I was offered an opportunity to come back and do my residency in the same hospital that I was born in, at North Beth Israel Medical Center. And so I took that opportunity, came back, and to come back and be on the front lines of healthcare, and to now be back in the same community I grew up in, with the same physical sort of frame but a different mentality, it really felt good to be there to really encourage not others to only do better with their health, but to be better academically, to be better persons, to know that they have the gifts, because some issues that exist in our neighborhoods, we can't depend on outside factors to come in and resolve them. We have to take control and be a leader and take the initiative to resolve ourselves, because we're here every day. We're dealing with issues every day. So we have to be on the front lines and making a difference and changing some of the complexities in our communities. So then it started off practicing medicine, and then I formed a foundation with my two friends, Three Doctors Foundation. We just celebrated our 14th year. We're having our annual gala on May 2nd in New Brunswick at the Hyatt. We're fortunate to have Rose Rock, which is Chris Rock mom's and Tony Rock mother, the comedians, and we're going to have Sherry Shepherd from The View for the May 2nd gala. So that's the foundation. I travel the country, as you mentioned, speaking pretty much all over the country. I'm 3 or 4 times a month I'm at some school or some organization or some corporation speaking, and really just talking about just being the best you can be, motivation, and overcoming hardships and challenges, and really going after the best you that is possible. Recently was at New Jersey City University. I have a book event, a book signing that's going to be February 20th at Essex County College, Essex County College at 2:30 p.m., and another one March 6th. March 6th is at Melba's in Harlem. Melba's in Harlem. I post all this information on my social media pages as well, so it's easy to find. But February 20th, I'm excited about it, Essex County College at 2:30 p.m. It's my new book, Living and Dying in Brick City. And Living and Dying in Brick City is a collection of stories that I've come across in the emergency department that I sat back and scratched my head and say, you know what, something has to be done. I can't just sit here defenseless and wait for these presentations to come into the ER and then try to patch them back together to give some quality of life when they all could have been prevented. They all could have been prevented. So I felt the charge to put something together where I can hand to a reader, person to read, that you can read through, enjoy, because the book is not written in a medical format. It's written in a narrative, so you're reading about just everyday life, but meanwhile you're getting information about how to better your health, how to better your circumstances, and how important it is to be in charge of your health. You just can't leave it to chance. So Living and Dying in Brick City, the book, it touches on these issues, but in a way that you can read and enjoy, so you can get to understand the importance and the destruction of not being in charge of your diabetes, not being in charge of your heart disease, the domestic violence, the substance abuse, the you know, the teen pregnancies, the STDs. You get to read about this stuff without reading the details of what these diseases are per se, but just understanding the social implications and of some people's stories. And so it's enjoyable in that way because of the way it's written. But then at the end of each chapter, it's these sort of nuggets of knowledge that I give that sort of give you resources and more understanding of what certain issues is, what mental illness is, what heart disease is, what prostate cancer is. And I also touch on some of the issues that exist in our communities, lack of access to health care, health insurance, Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. So you read about this stuff. And meanwhile, it's like watching your favorite TV show, right? Whether it's watching, you know, your favorite medical show from Grey's Anatomy or Scandal, whatever your favorite show, it's like reading that in a book format, but then getting the information and some understanding. I know a lot of people watch Law and Order, and once they finish watching that show, they think they're lawyers. So, you know, you get to sort of read Living and Dying in Brick City and get that same feedback. So the book itself just was released in paperback, and you know, it's been supported and endorsed by so many. Most recently, Derek Jeter, the New York great, who's retiring this year. He wrote a few words of support for the book because it's just a book that we all need to read. And someone said it's a book that we need to study. And I get that because it equips you. You feel most books you read at the end of it, you feel entertained. But this book you will read and feel entertained, and you will feel that you obtain a piece of knowledge that will help to equip you moving forward in life.
Awesome, awesome. Well, we have many people are listening in, tuned in. If you just tuned in, you're listening live to Dr. Samson Davis. The show is only a half-hour show. I wish I had more time. I'm sure people would love to talk to you live, but they can do it. They can meet you at the book signing. You can meet him at the book signing at Essex County College on February the 20th at 2:30. I believe that's a Thursday. So you can do that. You can also connect with him. He has other book signings. He has the May Gala coming up. I'm sure you can go to his website and learn more about that, find out how to be there. I heard you say that Chris Rock's mom, Rose Rock, would be one of the speakers, and Sherry Jeppert. And, oh, my God, I'm just like, we don't have much time left. I just have like a million questions we'd love to ask. I mean, I do think the work you're doing is just totally incredible. I thank God for you. And you are you still at Beth? Are you still working at that hospital?
No. I'm still in Newark. I'm on staff at several different hospitals, St. Michael's, Meadowlands. I'm in discussion with Beth Israel to figure out how to sort of get back there, you know. So it
sounds like you need your own. They ought to give you your own hospital, because I mean, wow! Come on now, you need a hospital TV show, and who does what you know what you've done? Come on, you. I know Newark. I live. I came to New Jersey, to Newark, New Jersey in 1987, and was living in the colonnades. So that audit, you probably were just being born around that time. But
No. I was in the heart of it all. I was in the heart of the 80s, and I knew the colonnades very well.
Really, really? Okay,
yeah,
so the colonnades, 87, I'm coming to New Jersey for the first time, 7th Ave Project, so you know what that whole thing was.
Oh, yeah.
I know Newark well. I've been started school at Essex in 90, so I'm around Newark every day. I'm on all these different streets. So, but to know that you came from that, I know University High School, know that well. And so here you are. I ran the College Bound program. I know what a lot of these children are faced with, but when you're in that hospital, when you were in the hospital there and people are coming in, dying and what have you, or sick or what have you, and you said you were born in that same hospital and working there, what was that like going to work every day? And you still do, because you still work in these hospitals around Newark.
Yeah.
Can you describe what that, I mean, for a child who got in trouble in high school, who was kind of pulled away a little bit from his dreams and goals for just a minute, what does that feel like to then be there living your dream?
I mean, it's surreal. It's surreal, but it also feels like a gift. You know, every day that I'm doing well and a part of the healing process, it feels almost as if I trick the people who's in control. Like, you know, I tricked somebody along the way, because that was not supposed to be my reality. You know, me doing what I'm doing. Although that's what I wanted to do and felt the charge to do at an early age, it wasn't supposed to be my reality, because so many of my friends, it became the opposite. It became what we often see in our streets. And so for me to be there, you know, it's as if I tricked the gods, if you will, to be in that position. And so it's surreal, but at the same time, it's like being at home. I mean, how often can you say I get to sort of come and work at the same place, not only that I was born in, but I used to hang out around that hospital when I was a teenager and a kid, taking the bus and getting from one part of town to the next, you know, so to be there. But then it also makes me feel like that I have to continuously do more. There's no stopping, you know, and so, you know, that's why I do the books, the foundation, Travel the Country and Speak, social media. You know, it's the same as my website, you know, the social media, the Twitter and the Facebook is Dr. Samson Davis. I'm constantly on there giving feedback and information and health tips and just providing as many resources as possible, because, you know, this information is not only important, but it's also important for our kids and our community to know that it's possible that somebody from similar backdrops can achieve, because I'm not special or any different than anyone else. If I can make it, anyone else can do the same.
Well, I love you for saying that. I know you got to go, and I know you were in between. You're hopefully there's nobody in the ER waiting on you to get back. But I thank you so much. I know it took a lot to get you to, and I so appreciate that. Dr. Samson, you know, that just so speaks to your heart and your character. You don't know me. I don't have a big TV radio show. I'm not Wendy Williams. I'm LaLisa Williams. And you stopped by. This isn't CNN. This is Blog Talk Radio. But that you would, in a short time, come by just speaks so loudly to what I'm doing and what others are doing that's listening in, and it speaks to what you've said, that anybody can do anything that you put your mind to, because I'm just doing radio and I get to have a big star like you on my show. So today I feel like Oprah. But here, before I have to let you go, I am definitely, this is in record, I mean, this is in the archive now. This show will be in the archive. People will be able to listen. I'm certainly going to tag my students, let my students at both Union County and Essex. I have young students coming out of high school. Some of them may have heard of you but never have listened to you. They are now going to listen to you. I am going to encourage them to get your copies of your books. I have a group of teenagers, I was telling Kaylin about them, in Cincinnati, Ohio, who happen to be my family and friends of my family's kids. I'm going to let them all listen, and we're going to, we have a group there in Ohio. We're starting a youth graduation project with them, and I'm going to make sure that they all get a copy of your book and study it and make a similar commitment to finishing strong and doing and living their dreams. So it's just a win-win, and again, I can't thank you enough. Much success with your book. People, you can go and get the book, Living and Dying in Brick City. You can go to his webpage, and you can purchase it right off of the website. The website is drsampsondavis.com. Please get the book. Order the book right there. Order the books. If you are a teacher, order it for your students. If you are a guidance counselor, order it. These schools have money for these things. They need to use it for the right things, and they need to get this book in the hands of their students. I'm challenging teachers and counselors. You say you want success for your students. Now it's time to prove it. Here is a live, living success story from an inner city, from one of the poorest cities in the United States. It was one of the poorest then, and it's still one of the poorest. Mm-hmm. Get a copy. Yes, right. That's 20-something years. It was the poorest then. It's still the poorest. But it is rich with people like Dr. Samson Davis, and your child, your niece, your nephew, your cousin, your student, or just the kid on the street. You don't even have to know the child. If you see a kid, we ought to, as a matter of fact, it ought to be, you ought to have this book in your hand if you're going to even walk the streets of Newark and Jersey City and Camden and Trenton and Avondale and over the Rhine and all these other communities. They shouldn't even be allowed, you know, to walk the streets if they don't have this book. No, really, I'm very serious. That
I'm with
and
you.
The pack.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yes, because it's ridiculous. You said something that's so powerful. You were like, half of the stuff that people are dying from or succumbing to is preventative. It can be prevented.
It can be prevented.
You mean to tell me that $15 or $20, I know your book is now in paperback, so we're very excited about that. You mean to tell me, because if you have to pay for the hospital bill, that's going to be thousands. If you pay for, it costs about $38,000 a year to house a prisoner in the state of New Jersey. So if they can spend $38,000 to lock someone up and can't put out $15 to unlock their gift, their minds, and their future, then I'm sorry, doctor, I don't know. I think they need a doctor.
Yeah. I'm with you. I couldn't agree more. I think that, you know, this book, all the books that I've put, but in particular this one, it really segues into reflecting on yourself and being inspired at the same time. And how many books that we read that makes us feel this way is not too often that we find one that we can relate to. And so I think this one offers that, and it really helps you wake up something inside you. And to your point, too, I mean, I think it's a great read for high schools and colleges. I worked with Random House to develop a teacher's guide that meets the Common Core state values that is important for the from the state recommendations. So the teacher's guide is available. The book is also available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble as well. But, you know, more importantly, I just think that it really equips a young person, even an adult as well, to be, you know, be reflective on where they are and then feel charged to make take that step into really making a difference in your life. Take that charge, because we sit idle sometimes and we can have situations where we just feel bad about ourselves, but that's not helping the situation. You have to get up, you have to move, and you have to make changes in your life in order to get to a better tomorrow, and it feels so good when you do so.
Okay, we only have one, there's only 1 minute. I'm going to leave this minute to you. Please, could you please speak something to peer pressure, if you could do that in 60 seconds or less?
Peer pressure, it has to be positive. I don't ever want to do away with peer pressure. Peer pressure is what got me here, but it was a positive peer pressure. We have to dispel and get rid of negative peer pressure and have positive peer pressure. Ramik and George is a positive peer pressure circle. Negative peer pressure, you don't need to be around. Haters, you know, is what I like to call them. Haters do a good job of what they do. They hate. So just remove yourself from negative situations. Surround yourself with positive intelligent situations, and you will become smarter, not even by any process of activity, just by being around smart people, positive people. You start to feel smarter and positive about your immediate circumstances and your future.
Wow. See, that's what nothing but the Lord told me to say. Wow. You know what? That's it. I can't say another word. We got to stop right there. Positive. Wow. That sounds like a good book, a title for your next book. So thank you so much, everyone. This was an awesome interview, great tips, great nuggets of wisdom. I will see you on Thursday, the 20th, at Essex County College, 303 University Avenue, Newark, New Jersey. I'll post it again on the Facebook, on the website. God bless you so much. Have a wonderful, enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your loved ones, and may all your family be blessed to have you as a member and your friends. Thank you again. And if you could tell us one more time how people can get the book, how would you like for them to get this book, Living and Dying in Brick City?
It's available, Living and Dying in Brick City, on my website, drsampson, S-A-M-P as in Paul, S-O-N Davis, D-A-V-I-S, .com, or Amazon, or BarnesandNobles.com. You can go on and get the book and follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook. And, again, there's a teacher's guide that's available for the book as well, which helps with the educators to spend time to go through the book and really tease out the most important points.
Well, I'm following you right now on Twitter. I'm signing up to follow you on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn,
right.
And I'm encouraging all my friends, colleagues, networks who follow Dr. Les, we're following you. Again, thank you so much, and we hope that we can get you back on after all your book signings and after your program is implemented to tell us how many students you're meeting and what are some of the life-changing stories you have for these young people. I can't wait to hear that. But again, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening in. For those of you who are listening, those who will go back to the archives, you can follow Dr. Samson Davis on Twitter, LinkedIn, all the social media networks, Facebook. You can sign up for his Facebook page, sign up for his newsletter, go to his website, and let's make this happen. Let's have some healthy communities 2014 and going forward. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Samson. And I wanted to give a special shout-out to Kaylin. I know I've mentioned her name a time or two, but I want to definitely just thank her so much, Kaylin Kendall Dines, D-I-N-E-S. God bless you. She is phenomenal. Thank her so much for making this happen. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her, because she is a woman of her word. When she emailed me, I emailed her back. She followed through every single time. I don't know Kaylin, never met her in person. I only know her from the internet. But I can tell you one thing, she is a woman of action. She's a powerful young lady, and she contacted, and I asked her if she could do it, and she did. She made it happen. So I appreciate her, and I just wanted to get that in on this interview as well. Thank you so much, Kaylin. I wish you much success in anything that I could do to connect you and Dr. Samson Davis to other sources. I will do it. I just think this message is so timely and just needs to go out to every community. I have a heart for, you know, these teenagers who are in these schools, dropping out, not doing well, not living up to their dreams, and I want them to hear from you, Dr. Samson Davis. So thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is great, and you know, I'm hoping that through what we did today that we changed some lives and reshaped some visions.
Oh, we did. If nothing else, you reshaped mine. But no, you did. I know some young people who are on the phone listening. I know some people who are listening to this interview, and it's definitely a help. You said so many wonderful things that it can't help but to help them, and they can still connect with you. I think that's the biggest piece right there. They can follow you on Facebook and Twitter. They can contact you. I think that's the huge piece, because maybe they didn't know. Maybe they didn't know what you were doing. Maybe they only heard about it. Now they can really get connected, because what you said, you hang around the people who are doing it right. You hang around the smart people. Like osmosis, it's going to come to you.
Yeah.
And so
that's right.
Being in their presence. Yes, you're a doctor. I'm sure you know all about that osmosis stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I say it often.
Okay. My mom was a believer of that. She used to tell us that all the time. And so she never used the word peer pressure. She would just tell us through osmosis. If we hung around good, smart people, you said the exact same thing my mom said to me 50 years ago. So I thank God for that, for you saying that and reminding me of that. So I think that right there, you're going to help a lot of people. They're going to rethink who they're hanging with and get it with that positive peer pressure. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Peer pressure is good, but let it be positive. So let that resonate with people. I'm going to have to. And so thank you again. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming, and thanks for those for listening. That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs. And visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page,
on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs,